Right, so I have all the choir coming up here. The choir will start the service in about 5 minutes.
224, song we don't sing a lot, but a great worship song, Holy, 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 number 224. Play some more, Steve. They're still finding their place. 224.
Said that when the angels are around the throne, they cry, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Well, I'm glad we know Him as our personal Savior, our Father, our Friend, our Deliverer, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley. I mean, the Bible is very descriptive about that one that the angels call Holy. Now, they can't call Him a lot of things we can because they don't know what we know. And so that makes us a little bit, right now we're a little lower than the angels, but one day we'll be higher than the angels because we'll be just like Jesus. In the meantime, let's make sure that we always consider God holy. He is not modern. He's not contemporary. He's not dumbed down to our level. He's holy. He's way up here and He's going to stay way up here. And it's our job to strive for perfection or maturity. We'll never get to that level until we get to heaven, but we can always try our best to get there. And in so doing, it keeps us from backsliding and falling back into the old light. And so I appreciate that song. I haven't done it in a long time, but I love that song. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you so much for being here in the service this morning. We'll go to the Lord in prayer, ask His blessing upon the service, and then you and the audience can be seated. The choir will sing another number. Brother Jimmy Peterson, how about lead us in prayer, would you?
on, but let's stand and we'll greet each other while the choir comes down and we'll find out if we have visitors. All right, go ahead and stand and have a time of prayer. Choir for the good singing this morning, and thank you for being here at church. It started out kind of gloomy and cool. Looks like the sun's coming out. It's going to be a nice day, and it's a good day to be in the house of God. Amen. If you're glad to be here, say amen. If you hate you're here, say, oh me. That's what I thought. All right, we're so glad to have you in the service, Brother Tibbs. We don't have any first-time visitors here today, so we got to get busy and get out here and invite people to come. But we're glad that you're here in the service. We got several people out for one reason or another. But we had 62 in Sunday school, so we're still above average. And we had 14 regulars that were not here for one reason, so we could be going over 70 or even more, getting close to 80 in Sunday school. How about that? Praise God. So you be praying for the folks that are not able to be here. Some are traveling and some will be traveling. Of course, Judy and I and Bethany and Brian be leaving this evening and headed to Florida to get on a boat, and been looking forward to this. I told the Lord this morning when I had my personal time, I said, Lord, I don't even want to really talk about it until after church, because I don't want that to get in the way of my worship in the Lord. But I just thought I said something about it, so I thought, well, I'll mention it. So you pray for us. We'll be back next Sunday, be back Saturday. We'll be here next Sunday. So Steve will be preaching tonight and Wednesday night, and I appreciate him filling in, so I hope you'll be right back here. Shelton and Brenda and Jake are also going on the same cruise, but they're already down there. They went to see her sister Barbara, who lives in Florida, and then we'll, I guess, go to Tampa and catch the boat tomorrow. So anyway, we got looking forward to some time away, a little time off, as it were. I believe God, you know, even Jesus took vacations, you know. You know that, don't you? The Bible said he went up in the mountain apart, was tired. He went by himself. Sometimes, you know. Now, I know some of you are glad you just found out that's in the Bible, huh?
but he didn't go every weekend. Yeah, come on now. Anyway, everybody needs a little time. I understand that. My gracious goodness, everybody needs that. And so we're looking forward to it. And so you pray for us. I've never been on a boat, never been anything like that. So neither has Judy. And so we'll see what happens. Now, they, you know, they talk about all this food that's on that boat. I'm telling you, and when I was younger, I'd say, man, just turn me loose. But I can't do that no more. I'm trying to get some of this off of me. And of all things, go on a boat where literally there's 14 decks and they got food out on every one of them 24/7. I mean, my gracious, I think they got a buffet down in the engine room down there where they work, I think. But anyway, and amazingly enough, after you spend all day eating on the boat, when you go back to your room, you can order room service. Gracious goodness. Now, if I was some folk size, Jake is so excited to go on that trip because he wants to eat all week. But now Jake's about, 90 pounds soaking wet. And everything he eats goes to muscle and energy. Mine goes to none of your business. And but we are looking forward to going. So you pray for us. So sure enough, we're just looking forward to spending some time with the family. All right. So let me give you a couple of things real quickly. Remember to pray. Sister Christy Todd's got surgery coming up in February. Some thyroid surgery at Lexington Hospital. So that's a little ways off. But let's be praying for her. Rhonda Hale's got just a few more cancer treatments left, so pray for her. Austin Spears, Brother Robert, and Kamisha are actually out west visiting family this week, and one of them was to go see his daughter, the six-year-old who's got some congenital heart issues, and so they're out there. Steve and Gail's granddaughter, Julie, the surgery went good. She's at home, and they've got to schedule another similar type procedure in about 6 or 8 weeks after she heals, so we'll have to go back down there for that. Then I want to mention the Robertson family. How many of you folks remember Brother Jim Robertson, who was here a few months ago? He's a missionary in Wyoming. Remember him being here? Brother Jim's a great fellow. He pastored across town in Lexington for a little while. Judy worked at his school for a little while. And a couple of things in that family. If you remember when Jim was here, of course, it hadn't happened at the time, but since then he lost a grandson that passed away. And then he was working apparently this week in a building. I don't know if it was a church or what. I'm not sure. He was up in the attic and he fell through the ceiling and broke several ribs, broke 3 vertebrae, punctured a lung, collapsed a lung, just messed himself up and was in ICU. His wife, Catherine, texted me. I called to check on him and I didn't realize how bad he was. She texted back and said that he was in intensive care. I think he's going to be okay. Now, I haven't heard anything since then. Still not doing well. 13, yeah. I don't know how many you have in your back, but I think that's about all of them. You pray for Jim. I didn't realize it was that serious, but you pray for Jim. I love Jim Robertson. Well, in the meantime, Brother Steve told me that his brother, William, they call him Buzzy. Buzzy Robertson. I've known Buzzy for several years. Steve worked with him and a lot of years with him at Greenville and Tabernacle. Well, he's been a church planter, kind of like a missionary in Virginia for several years. And anyway, he went the other day to a McDonald's after a service on Thursday night, ordered some coffee and went out, got in his car to leave. And when the McDonald's closed, his car was still there and they checked on him and he died sitting in his car, that coffee in his hand. I mean, so apparently a major heart attack, I'd say. He was probably in his upper 60s. Buzzy Robertson was a good fella, great fella. His son, Robbie, pastors in Williamston, South Carolina, Trinity Baptist Church. So the whole family's involved in the ministry. And he just died suddenly. The funeral is Tuesday. We won't be here, but Brother Steve's going to go to the funeral, of course. He knew Brother Buzzy real well. So it seemed like a lot of stuff piled up on that Robertson family all of a sudden. Sometimes it happens that way. But just like Brother Gene Rowell preached Monday, where instead of saying God won't put more on you than you can bear, just remember when he does, you just trust him, he can handle it. That was the message of the day. I'm telling you, I bet I've told 100 people about that message and how they could watch it on our live stream. If you weren't here to hear it, you need to pull up the live stream from the Low Country Fellowship this past Monday. And he's the last preacher in the afternoon. All the preaching was good. Every bit of it was great. Brother Gene really brought forth a great thought. And so you get a chance, you can look at that. But pray for the Robertson family, if you would. Also, Sabine, continue praying for Sabine while she's out there. And Brother Don Alvarado's son, David, we want to pray for him as well. Okay? Come on, Brian, if you got something.
Well, announcements for you this afternoon at 4:45. I have a little bit of an abbreviated choir practice. 4:45 and then the service at 5:30. Wednesday night service at 7 o'clock. As the pastor said, my dad will be preaching tonight and tonight, so you got that to look forward to. Tuesday morning is the Rusty Anchors meeting, 10 o'clock here at the church for the month of January. The Rusty Anchors, I know we're looking forward to that. And that's all I got. Kind of a light week.
All right. 128, favorites 228. He hideth my soul. Let's stand. We'll sing a few verses. 228. Thank you so much. Always enjoy hearing the congregation sing. Come on, ushers. Let's take care of our offering this morning. And Brother Tim will recognize the special. All right. Hand off, John. All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessing upon the offering. And Brother Joaquin, you pray for the offering, please.
our pastor comes this morning, we have the blessed trio coming to sing for us.
There'll be hilltops I'll have to climb and rivers I'll have to cross. There'll be trials that I won't understand, but there will if I'll ever smile again, but I refuse to ever turn around. No, I'm not gonna lay my armor down, not until he comes again. Until he comes, I will love him, though I may not see. My broken heart and bitter tears are good for me.
Calvary, I'm going to get attention. Amen? You ever talk to someone feel like they weren't paying you no mind? You don't ever talk to God where He doesn't pay attention. Thank God. I'm glad for that. Thank you, trio. Well, there are, you know, the whole Bible is wonderful. I hope you love it. You should. There are parts of Scripture that seem like stand out. Not that it's any better, just to us, to our human minds, certain passages of Scripture just seem to stand out. John 3:16, for example. Everybody, I mean, even some of the worst lost people in the world know John 3:16. What about Psalm 23? But what a blessing to the believer. Know that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You think about 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Hold, I show you a mystery. Coming back, He said, the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain. Talking about the rapture of the church, and what a blessing that is. One of my favorite passages of Scripture in the Bible is found in the book of Romans, chapter number 8. So turn there, please, Romans chapter 8, page 1202. If you have a Scofield Bible, Romans chapter 8 is filled with questions to the believer. And God, through the Apostle Paul, answers those questions. I'm not going to get into all of those this morning. I'm going to go in a different direction. I may work on that and try to use that later. But notice, if you would, and stand with me, please, if you're able, and let's read just a few verses together, beginning in verse number 28. Romans 8, 28. Everybody knows that address. And one of my favorite gospel songs is a song that the cathedrals used to do. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord. I love that song, and it's a song that quotes to some degree Romans 8:28. Most people know it, but most people only know half of it, and they only quote half of it. Let's read it together. And we know. That is very, very important. We talks about us, the believer. And we know, not hope, not think, not surmise, but we know that all things work together good to them that love God. There's a qualification there. To them that love God. To them who are the called, and here's the part that's usually left out. Them who are the called according to His purpose. Always remember that God works everything in your life, not for your pleasure, but for His. He does it so that He can be satisfied with you. Now, in the process of doing that, and God satisfying Himself, in turn, doesn't that then satisfy us? If God is happy thus, shouldn't we be ecstatic? Think about it. If God is just happy with us, then we ought to be swinging from the chandelier, that God is happy with us. As the Bible said, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. This is not Calvinism in the Bible. This is God's foreknowledge and His plan. Remember who He's talking to, we, believer. Whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate, and here is the result, to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. Whom He justified, them He also glorified. Now here's where it really gets good. But, knowing all of that, knowing that God wants to be happy with us, that God in His plan knows all of us, and God in His perfect plan predestinates or predetermines us to be like Jesus. And guess what? When we're like Jesus, when we strive to be like Jesus, guess what that does to God? Makes Him happy. And when God is happy, all are happy. Notice, what shall we say then to these things, the things I just told you? If God, here is the assurance of the believer. If God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah! If God be for us, and we just read where He wants to be for us, He has predetermined that He wants to be for us. He's already predetermined how, if we'll love God and live for Jesus, that He's already decided, then I will be happy with you. And by the way, a good father never punishes his family when he's happy. It's the other way around. It becomes a time of giving and a time of sharing and excitement because there's something that has happened that makes dad happy. For mom, happy wife, happy life. Amen? Well, look what it says now. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now, when God gets happy, he gets in a given mood. Hallelujah. And buddy, nobody can outgive God. You can never outgive God. That's why if you'll tithe, that makes God happy. And guess what he does? He gives it back plus. You know, when you're faithful to the house of God, that makes God happy. And guess what he does? He gives you health so you can go out and live your life and have the joy of the Lord. When you read your Bible faithfully, that makes God happy. And you know what he does? He starts to cause you to realize that the promises that you're reading are for real. And they're for us. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Is he that condemneth? Is Christ that died? Yea, rather, is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Sounds to me like if you're saved today, you're in pretty good shape. We're in pretty good shape. Yeah, but preacher, you don't understand. My joints hurt. But hey, you're saved. And your joints are saved. Amen. Preacher, I'm telling you, I'm having a hard time on the job. But you're saved. And that makes you saved at that job too. Hallelujah. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? I can tell you right now, nobody. I'm going to answer that right now. Nobody. Of tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. By the way, that's Psalm 44. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Sound, now, you say, preacher, it sounds like it's made a turn. We're going downhill. No, no. We're just simply seeing that what we are in this life means nothing. But if we're living for God, he's happy. And when he's happy, you can go to the slaughter happy. For it says, nay. The Bible said, let your yeas be yea and your nays be nay. Here, God's pretty emphatic. Nay. In all these things, what? Nakedness, peril, sword, famine, pestilence, trouble, trial, heartache, divorce, broken families, drugs, alcohol, you name it! In all these things, we, that's us, are more than conquerors. How about that? Aren't you glad for that? I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, nothing, not even the devil himself, can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Father, we love you today. We could stop right there, having read the Bible, said we've been at worship. Father, I want to take a moment to share a couple of thoughts. Lord, I hope we'll go home excited that, hey, if God be for us, who can be against us? Bless your word, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. But one thing that God's people search for the most and don't realize that they've had it ever since the day you got saved is the assurance of the believer. Going into things in life that you were not expecting. Things happening in life that come suddenly. Just like we're telling you about Brother Robertson. No doubt, Ms. Robertson and the family had no idea when Brother Buzzy went to that church service and he just stopped to get a cup of coffee. On his way home to see his wife. On his way back to the ministry that God placed him in. I mean, just like any other day. Nobody expected. I'm sure. Listen, imagine how that McDonald's employee must have felt. Walking up on a man in his car, dead. Nobody expected that. And somebody said, well, why would God let that happen? Because he's God. But you know what the Bible says, though, about a believer? The Bible says that God is excited when saints die. Yeah. God gets excited. God loves. Hey, he loves it when saints perish. You say, what do you mean God killed him so he could be happy. No, he took him so Bunty could be happy. I'm telling you now, Bunty Robertson's shouting it out today. Why, he's having a bigger time than a cup of coffee at McDonald's. Say amen right there. I'm telling you, in all these things, we don't expect these things. And sometimes the devil will creep in on us and cause us to doubt and cause us to wonder and cause us to question. And all of those things, listen, will bring bitterness in your soul. But I'm glad God said, you know what, Paul? Let's stop for a little while in this book of Romans about how to get people saved. And let's spend a few minutes talking about what I'll do for them after they get saved. What the believer can have and know, because how does the scripture start? And we know. Man, I'm glad I know who Jesus is. I'm glad I know I'm saved. I'm glad I know the Bible is real. I'm glad that I know that God's alive. Paul speaks of the assurance of the believer in this text. He speaks of the eternal security of the believer, the text, and that nothing can separate the believer from the love of God. What else is there? What else is there? You say, well, there's food. Guess who provides that? The one who will never leave you nor forsake you. What about a vehicle to get to work? Who do you think is going to provide that? The one who will never leave you nor forsake you. What about a job? Or what about the things of life? God said, I will supply your need. What do we got to worry about? Listen, God said, if a man's got food and raiment, that's all he needs. Hey, you're sitting here in some decent clothes. You're going to go eat lunch later at home or somewhere that, by the way, God gave you the strength to work so you can make the money to go out on Sunday afternoon. Amen. I'm telling you, God, isn't God good to us? Isn't God good to us? Somebody say amen right there. I can't believe I got to ask for an amen on something like that. Isn't God good to us? Let's take just a moment. Three things I want to show you in the time I have. Three certainties that we as believers enjoy. And I said, certainties. You know, there's not much in life that you can be certain about. They say death and taxes. Well, guess what? A lot of people don't even pay their taxes. I'm just about, listen, since Jesus, I guarantee you there's one thing you can be sure of. If you live long enough, you're going to die. Unless Jesus comes, if the rapture comes, you won't have to worry about it. I'm telling you, there are three certainties we find in the text here that ought to thrill our hearts. Number one, look with me in verse 31 and 32. As we see here, the believer's abundance. Now, the Bible says that God will supply your need. Now, what that means is literally what you think it means, that God will make sure you have enough. Sometimes moms and dads work jobs, and they make sometimes just enough. They live from week to week, paycheck to paycheck. And what are they doing? They're working to provide the minimum. Families, a place to live and something to eat. It may not be roasted chicken and turkey. It may be pinto beans and cornbread milk. But when you're hungry, that's pretty good. Amen. But you know what God said? You know what the same God who said, I'll supply your needs said? And listen, and that we can know, He said, I'll do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or think. When you're planted on cornbread and milk, God will send you a T-bone steak every once in a while. Glory to God. When you're driving around in a little Pinto, God will send you a Lincoln Continental. I'm not preaching health and wealth. I'm telling you, my God can do it. And I know He can do it. You know why? Because He's done it for me. And if you'll be honest, He's done it for you. Everyone in this room probably has more and bigger and better than you could have ever imagined. When I graduated from high school in really a lower middle class family and didn't have much, Dad didn't work all that time. A lot of the time my mother had to waitress just to make ends meet. I'm telling you, I never had any idea that God would call me to preach and bring me to South Carolina. And I'm telling you, once this happens, I guess I'm getting older. I can't help myself. But I've thought about some of the places I've been and some of the people I've met and some of the wonderful places around this world I've got to see. God sent me a great wife and we've got to do this thing together. I'm telling you, there's a God who will do more than just what you need. He'll give. give you abundantly above. Would have never thought that. Listen, it's always just a bucket list thing. You know, you have a bucket list. There were a couple of things. I want to go to Israel. Well, Judy and I made it within 2 weeks of getting there. And then they got to blowing up each other. And the government said, maybe you ought not to go. I said, amen to that. I want to see it, but I don't want to get blown up seeing it. And I always, and God knows it, I always wanted to go on a cruise. Not one. Now listen, by the way, we're not going on one of these gambling, drinking cruises. I'm not going to try to find a girlfriend. I got one. It's a Christian cruise. Now I don't know, you know, God, there are 48 gospel groups on that ship. I ought to be able to find somebody singing the right kind of music. Joe Arthur's preaching every day on that boat. I guarantee old Joe Arthur shucked the corn. E.T. Townsend's there. I've never heard him in person. I've only heard a little bit. I don't know about. And then Phil Hoskins. I know. We've heard Phil Hoskins. Now, he's a Southern Baptist. Ooh. But he's a good preacher. Another feller I've never heard of. So I don't know what he is. I'll find out, though. In other words, from sun up to sundown, I get to hear singing, preaching, and eating. Glory to God. That is a. Hey, that's an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist. Heavenly. Vacation. The only difference between this and heaven is when I eat in heaven, I won't get fat. Say amen right there. Look what the Bible said, verse 31. What shall we say then? How can we argue? How can we complain? How in the world can you as a believer complain that God is not being good to you? Because if God be for us, He never did another thing for us. The fact that He's for us, then nobody can be against us. Oh, they'll come against us, and they'll fight against us, and they'll argue against us, and they'll try to hurt us, and sometimes they do. But listen, God's got it all under control. When it's all said and done, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And I could be dying with cancer. I could be in the last stages. I could be just out of my mind on you. I could be to the point where nobody can help me. But I mean, when you get to the very end of the line, you can bank on the fact that God is still for you. Notice the blessed, the believer's abundance. In verse 31, we have the premise, set up, if you will. The Bible said, if God be for us, who can be against us? Folks, let me say, that ought to settle it for you right there. If that was the last verse in this chapter, that'd be good enough. But you know what God said? Let's explain that just a little bit. So we have the premise on our abundance. Look at verse 32. There's the payment. What it says in verse 32. The Bible said, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for the Baptists, Presbyterians, the white folks, the rich folks. No, He died, He bare the sins for all of us. Red, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in His sight. We need to quit worrying about race and color and all of that in this country. Let's get back to believing God and loving God. Hey, bless God, we're all the same in the eyes of God. We're either saved or we're lost, and it doesn't matter how much money you have or don't. That's why we tell people, they'll say, you know, I notice your church is multicultural. I said, no. Oh, yeah, you have black folks and Latinos there. And that's multi. No, I said, we're multi-soul. Everybody in this room's got a soul, no matter what color you are. And it doesn't matter what history might have said. What we do is we bank on what God said. And the Bible said, He spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us, A-L-L, all. That's the payment for our abundance. You know, the thing about this trip, and my daughter and son-in-law paid for this trip, his birthday present, way more than I deserve. I'm so appreciative. You know what they said? We said, well, now what, we got to take by this? They said, no. It's all paid. You just go and do it. You call room service? They say, okay. Go to every deck, and there's buffets all the place. You walk up and kind of look at it like, can I do this? And they say, go ahead. It's free. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In all this? Yeah. All paid for. And Toby said, he said, preacher said, don't worry about a thing. He said, even the tips are paid for. Glory to God. I don't have to carry no money with me. Now, if something happens and I get thrown in the jug somewhere, I hope something will come up a few bucks to get me out. I don't want to be on Dateline for 2020, you know, American preacher in a foreign jail. Saved myself. But you know what? It's paid for. You know, how do you argue with that? Don't deserve it. I don't deserve that kind of treatment. I don't deserve my children being good to me that way. No! But I'm grateful. I don't deserve for for God to love me like He does. And the Bible said it's all paid for. I don't understand that. I've never done one thing for Him. Just the God, that's the kind of God He is. There's the premise, there's the payment. And notice the provision in that verse 32, and I'll hurry along. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Freely. You have to pay for it. The Bible said, ho, come ye. Isaiah said, ho, come ye. Come ye without money and without price. Jesus said, just come. Don't worry about paying for it. It's already paid for. You're here without Christ. Just a moment, we're going to give an invitation and invite you to come with nothing. Come with nothing. Don't come with pride. Don't come with works. Don't come with philanthropy. Don't come with an excuse. Don't come with a good reason. Hey, you just come just as you are. God will take care of the rest. And He'll transfer you into Romans chapter 8. And then you can know. I'm talking about the believer's abundance. Hurley, look at verse 33. Number 2, we see the believer's acceptance. The Bible said, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Nobody can. You know, the devil goes before God daily to accuse the brethren. And you know, we know about how God responded to him with Job. And God offered Job as a testimony. Because God knew that that story would be part of His Bible. I'm going to tell you something right now. You're saved here today and Satan accuses you. You don't believe God listens to a word he says. I don't think he listens. Two reasons. Number one, and God saved me. You know how many of my sins he forgave? All of them. You know how many of my sins he's forgotten? So when Satan mentions it, why should God even bother listening? He has no clue what he's talking about. Now, that doesn't give me license to go out and sin. Well, that gives me license to be so grateful. So grateful. That I don't have to pay this back. I want to do whatever he says. I'm going to be loyal to God because he washed my sins. Notice the believer's acceptance in our righteousness. Isaiah said all our righteousness is filthy rags. But here in verse 32, or verse 33, it is God that justifies. And if God does it, he does it completely. He does it all the way. That's our righteousness is not my righteousness or yours. It's our righteousness is God. It's God that justifies. In verse 34, he's our Redeemer. The Bible says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus. No language my rapture can tell. I know in the light of his presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed. Listen now. His child, and forever I am. Hallelujah! I'm telling you, I have abundance because of God. I have acceptance because of God. And last, I want you to see that I have assurance because of God. The Bible said in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Satan would like to separate the love of husband and wife. He'd like to separate sons and daughters from parents. He'd like to separate co-workers. He'd love to separate Anchor Baptist Church and blow it all to pieces. Hey, but my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. By the way, or we know, thought I'd remind you, but we know, have the believer's assurance. Notice the reality of difficulty. Look what it says in verse 35 now. This is a great, and I hope it's an encouragement to you. But guess what? Life is not all cake and ice cream. You hear way more songs in Christian music about valleys than you do mountains because we spend most of our time down there. But like the old song says, even in the valley there's higher ground. Yeah. Hey, look what it says, verse 35. Tribulation? Yeah, have you ever had it? Distress? Ever had it? Persecution? Ever had it? Famine? Hunger? Ever had it? Nakedness? You ever gone without some things? Peril? Been in danger? Sword? Bible said this is written. For thy sake we are killed all the day long. I mean, there's danger out here, folks. There's danger in here. Because now they'll come in here shooting. Anybody have to be watching here today? That's your thought. I wouldn't do it if I was you. I'm telling you, we are armed to the teeth. I'm glad I don't live in Virginia. That's God, I'll tell you right now. Shoot first and ask questions later. Difficulty in life is a reality, folks. Listen, getting saved doesn't relieve you of difficulty. That sure relieves you of the responsibility of having to deal with it by yourself. But it's also the certainty of victory in verse 37. Nay! In all these things, we are more than conquerors. We have loved us. Certainty of victory. Look at verse 38. There's persuasion. Has God ever done anything for you to persuade you He means it? If God's ever answered one prayer in your life, that ought to persuade you that He means what He says. Listen, if there's anybody here who cannot raise their hand to God has answered many prayers for me, shouldn't that just multiply our persuasion? I'm persuaded. You know what that word means? Convinced. I mean, when you think about Israel, when they left Egypt, when God parted the Red Sea, then killed the Egyptians behind them, how much more convincing do they need? And yet, it wasn't a week. They were murmuring again. God said, Moses, throw this branch in the water because it's poison. And he did, and it turned sweet. That tree branch, sent from God, by the way, made that bad water good. That's two things in 1 week. How many prayers does God have to answer? And how many times does God have to feed you and clothe you and bless you and help you for you to be convinced? The Bible said, I'm persuaded. Then notice there's the permanence. He said, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come. There's nothing back there. There's nothing here now and nothing in the future that could ever separate you from the love of God. That's permanence. And then there's the powers themselves, angels and princes. I mean, listen, God covers the bases from the extraterrestrial to the terrestrial. I mean, God covers it from heaven to hell. Nothing. And separate us from the love of God. Here's something really good. 39. Periphery. What do you mean, preacher? You know, here we are at the house of God. We're talking about God. We're talking about Jesus. And we got the Bible in front of us. And we've had Sunday school. We've had the choir sing. We've had a great song from the trio. I mean, man, right here, everything's good. But what about out there? Now, if I look out the window, I see cars going by. I don't know what them people are thinking. You go to lunch, you'll be in a crowded restaurant. You know, what's going on out there? Periphery. What's going on out? You know, the Bible talks about us being in the sheepfold. And he said, if any man come in any other way, the same as a thief and a robber. You know what's going on outside? Somebody's wanting to steal our joy. They want to steal our assurance. They want to steal our security. They want to steal it all from us. Look what it says in verse 39. For height, or depth, or any other creature. There's nothing out there that can take what you have. Now, let me say this before I pray. You have it. See, I can't take from you what you don't have. If I took you aside and said, I want so-and-so, and you said, well, I don't own that. I don't have anything like that. And I insisted that you give it to me, there would be a problem, wouldn't there? Because I can't take what you don't have. The Bible says, for we know, all things work together for good, and here it is, who of God. You got to have it for anybody to want to steal it. And I've had it now for 43 years. And Satan will not take it from me. No preacher can take it from me. No individual can take it from me. All the demons of hell can't take it from me. Religion can't take it from me. You got to have it for somebody to want to take it. You need to be thankful for our position in Christ today because He wants us to enjoy peace, safety, and security in His life. And then, man, I've had a good life, preacher. If I died today, I'd be satisfied. Just wait. You ain't seen nothing yet. Buzzy Robertson, I guarantee you, sitting there, he probably drinking that McDonald's coffee. Said, boy, this is good coffee. And then I'll, boom! He's in heaven drinking out of the river of life. I guarantee you that's better than McDonald's coffee. Amen! He's eating fruit off the tree of life. That's better than a Big Mac. Say amen right there. And best of all, he's not giving an order to some teenager behind a counter. He is in the presence of God Almighty Himself, and He's just like Jesus. You ain't seen nothing yet. And we know. I just told you it's not a fairy tale. It's the truth, God's Word. We love you this morning. Thank you for the privilege of my word. I'll be on for a whole week. I don't know what's in my future. Maybe my last message. Hope not. I'm not planning it that way. God, I know. God before us, who can be against us. And I want these folks to know that too, because we all know that day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year, circumstances change. Things change within the family dynamic. Things change within the financial dynamic and the employment dynamic. I mean, there are so many ways that life can change. Sometimes good, and sometimes the changes can be devastating. I think about Ms. Robertson and Jim all banged up and really not doing good himself. Lost their brother. They lost their husband. They lost their daddy, their grandpa, for no apparent reason. But if Buzzy could come back for 5 minutes, he'd say, don't
don't weep for me, don't cry for me, don't pray for me. I'm better off than all this world put together. Lord, that's the assurance of the believer. Not only that we're saved in this life, we're saved in the life to come. Lord, as I said, no one can take it from us. But you got to have it for somebody to want to take it. Lord, I pray if there's someone here that's not saved by the grace of God, they've never really trusted Christ as their personal Savior. Oh, they've had religion, they talk good, and they've been taught the right way, and you know, they've got some morals and a little bit of character. But Lord, none of that stuff gets a person to heaven. Only by trusting in Christ and the blood that He shed on the cross of Calvary, by repenting, turning from sin, and accepting Jesus Christ as the gift of God into their heart and life, that's how they can know. That's how they can have God before them. Lord, if there's somebody here lost, save them for Jesus' sake. There's somebody here that's faded away and kind of walked away from the things of God, and that happens. Get so wrapped up in the world that we forget about how good God's been. Lord, it's all vanity and vexation of spirit, Solomon said. It won't last. It won't satisfy. God, please. There's a Christian here who's walked away from God. They've faded out of view. For whatever reason, they've chosen the wrong way. Lord, help them to make the decision like the prodigal did. I believe I'll go home. I believe I'll go home. Father, I pray that folks will understand that this altar is available for them to come home. We're not going to punish them. We're not going to browbeat them. If they'll come home, we'll be tickled to death to have them. If somebody wants to come and get saved, why, man, we'll be glad, glad, glad. And the good thing is, if they'll get saved, that'll make God happy. And when God gets happy, everybody gets in on it. So, Father, I pray that we've made you happy today in this service. But now, I pray that that happiness will continue as come. Whoever it might be will come and trust Christ or get right with God. Have your way in this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Tim, what thanks.